think I will. Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate all the music tonight and the patriotic flavor of it. Amen. We recognize it is the 4th. I'm not going to do a Bible study as we do sometimes. I started something last week, and I am going to at least have one more lesson probably on it, but I'm going to leave it alone tonight. And it is the 4th, and we thought we might just ask you to look in Psalms 33 and just say a few things about it being the 4th a little bit here. And I'm going to have the tape room get a couple of young men with microphones so you can talk back to them in a minute. We're not going to have a long service tonight unless we get some testimony going and we can't stop them. But all joking aside, we will do that tonight, kind of make it a little more special on the 4th. As we ask you to go to Psalms 33, verses that are familiar, kind of give us a place to kick off, start with tonight. Verse 11, Psalms 33. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Do you understand other nations have other gods? It's not the Lord. And it says, blessed is the nation that has the Lord as our God, and that's what we have. I know we're hearing all kind of funny stuff today, and our nation is in great struggle to remain or to even get back to what it should be. And there's a big warfare over America tonight. I hope you know that. All you got to do is see the news a little bit. And we're praying that God's got his hand on our leadership now. I hope he has. And I'll tell you what, the devil sure got his hand on the other side. And no doubt about that. And it's obvious enough. I got a calendar here. Some of you might have got it. On the front of it, it says, In God We Trust, limited edition, 2018-2019 calendar. And it's got quotes from our founding fathers, and many of us know them. I'm going to read some of them to you in a minute. It comes from Chaplain Gordon. He's one of the chaplains that stood up for being able to pray in Jesus' name. And remember all the fuss that went on that. There's a group that wants to argue that America never was a Christian nation. And our previous president said we were no longer a Christian nation and even apologized for our Christianity overseas, is what it amounted to. And that may be why God raised up the man he's raised up. I believe he has. I believe Trump must be his man, otherwise he'd be dead. I don't see how he could make it otherwise. But you could turn through this calendar, and it's got authentic, real pictures. Here's Eisenhower addressing the troops in World War II. I mean, it's a real picture. It's not a painting, just exactly what happened. And General Ike at the time was telling the troops, we'll accept nothing less than full victory. Good luck, and let us all beseech the blessing of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking. And you'll find through all these patriots and presidents and others, they keep invoking God. And this was on the eve of the force that later on, I'm trying to think, Operation Overlord is what it is here. And this was a big, big deal. World War II. I turn on through and see several different ones. Of course, Reagan has a couple of places in here. On the very back cover, it's Ronald Reagan's quote, says, if we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. He made that statement here in Florida first time, right up here a little north of us, around Orlando somewhere, and the liberals just like they had a heart attack over it. But he spoke up several times. Here's his picture again. And Says, I believe with all my heart that standing up for America means standing up for the God who has so blessed our land. We need God's help to guide our nation through stormy seas. President Ronald Reagan. That reminds me of the verse, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom he have chosen for his own inheritance. Yes. Here's Bush with his microphone after 9/11 telling the enemy that they're going to hear from us. And he quotes the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So one after another, they keep giving testimony that we are a nation under God. And there's no doubt it's not Allah, it's not Buddha, it's not Muhammad, it's none of the junk that's being pushed today. It was the Lord God Jehovah. Of course, there's many quotes in here and many good pictures on George Washington. And he has some really, really great ones to say. And he's got a picture of him praying at Valley Forge in the snow. And this is a famous picture. Many of you have seen it. He's bowing with his horse out in the woods and in the snow. And a guy by the name of Isaac Potts was eyewitness hiding in the woods. And he saw General Washington himself, by himself, come and bow down in the snow and pray out loud. And this Isaac Potts recorded this. Says, I saw great George Washington on his knees alone, with his sword on one side and his cocked hat on the other. He was at prayer to the God of the armies, beseeching to interpose with his divine aid. As it was ye, using the old King James talk, as it was ye crisis and the cause of the country, of humanity, and of the world. Such a prayer I never heard from the lips of a man. And that's the testimony of Isaac Watts. The general didn't even know he was overhearing him. And that was in 1777. Here's a picture of him crossing the Delaware and the surprise attack that many think changed the War of Independence to our, for us to win. Says, and here it is, says, the time is near at hand. This is what it is, quote, the time is near at hand which must determine whether Americans are to be free men or slaves. And you have one quote after another, such as this. Brother Scotty, here's the one you'd like to, George Patton. And it's got a real picture of the man and World War II. The story, of course, behind that was Christmas 1944. They couldn't hit back. The Germans were attacking. They couldn't get the planes in because of the weather. And his Third Army was bogged down, and German forces was hitting them with surprise attacks. It's called the Battle of the Bulge. Many of you remember that name. And the fog was so heavy and the weather so bad. And George Patton called for his chaplain and told him to write a prayer. And he wrote this prayer. And George Patton liked it so much that he had 250,000 copies of it made, and he sent it to all the soldiers in the war, 250,000, and asked them to pray the prayer. Now, you got to remember, they're bogged down, they're under attack, they can't fight back, can't get the planes in because of the fog and the rain and the weather. And so the prayer, some of it goes like this. Almighty and most merciful Father, we humbly beseech thee of thy great goodness to restrain these immoderate rains with which we have had to contend. Grant us fair weather for battle. Graciously hearken to us as soldiers who call upon thee, that armed with thy power we may advance from victory to victory and crush the oppression and wickedness of our enemies and establish thy justice among men and nations. Now here's the rest of the story. In a short while, the weather cleared. I mean, in answer to prayer, and that's not all the prayer, but in answer to it, the weather cleared, and we were able to turn the battle, and the Battle of the Bulge is the one that goes down into history. As we're thinking about the 4th, we have a great heritage. I can't read all of this, and so much of this is real pictures. Of course, it's paintings there of George Washington, but most of these others are actual photographs of the men, the armies like Patton there. And it's really, really good. Here's another one of George Washington. And we have a great heritage, folks. We got a movement in our land today to sell out America, to turn our freedom and our democracy into socialism. Russia was the first nation that went communist. Communism almost always starts off with socialism. Then it changes to communism and all the freedoms that are gone with it. And if you saw your news, there was a young woman elected in New York running as totally socialist and beat out one of the older Democrats that she was running against. You may not like what I'm fixing to say, and can't help it. The Democratic Party is becoming almost a socialist party. And if they don't wake up, they're going to sell our country down the river. And it is a terrible, terrible thing that's going on. And you ought to pray much about that as we think about our freedom here on the 4th. And here's President Roosevelt, World War II's beginning, of course, and he called on all of America to go to their knees and pray after the Pearl Harbor event. Most of us know all about that. Still remember as a kid, I wasn't very old, about 6 years old, but I remember when the news hit on Pearl Harbor, all the adults, I knew something big was going on, man. I mean, all the adults was stirred up, and then all the younger people, including some of my older cousins, they were all joining the military. They were all leaving. They were all getting into the, but that's a country that had a lot of patriots that loved America. And we still got that. The truth is they were shocked that rural America come out in the election and let them know we're still here. We just hope we can do it again for the sake of our grandkids. That's what we're talking about. But I see the sickening things, and you do too. I saw some newsman on the street going to the colleges the other night. I forget whether it was Waters World or what I was watching there. On the news, but he was going to the colleges and speaking to the college students. And he was asking them this question: are you proud to be an American? And I'm sure maybe he found one or two that said so, but all he showed was one student after another saying no, they were not proud of America. That is heartbreaking. But it tells you something. The brainwashing those students have been exposed to from kindergarten on up is now showing up. That's exactly what it is. And I was thinking about it a little bit this afternoon. All we do here at church, our ministries, our day school, our college, and I was thinking about when the teens were singing there tonight, singing a patriotic song there in the choir. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could see those same young people, and not just them, but the ones that's come through this place and will come through this place if Jesus don't come. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they could still hold that after they're in their 20s and 30s? But what's happening is the powers that be, with all the skill and technology they've got, they're taking kids like these you heard sing in the choir and brainwashing them away from the foundation they learned in a church like this. That's sad. That's sad. Now I'd say the teens tonight, remember this service when we had a few testimonies on a July 4th and you were in church, and right now you think, not me, they'll never change me. But oh yes, I've seen them sit in my choir and in my pews and go out and get changed for the worse. I hope that don't happen to you, but if you don't hold by your foundation, which is God's word, and onto God himself, the enemy is strong. and they're very clever, and they're really messing up some good folks. Here's what I want to do tonight. I want a couple of young men with microphones for just a little bit. We've only got about 20 minutes left. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to ponder the question with me. That question is this. Am I proud of America? Why am I proud? What have I got to be thankful for as an American? That kind of thing. And you don't have to be long, but you might just pick out something and say, okay, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for that. I'll tell you one thing, this crowd that's not thankful, if they went overseas a little while, they'd become thankful real quick. They really would. If they had to leave their welfare check here on this side and go on over, they'd find out in a hurry they'd like to be back. They don't know what they're talking about when they're talking about this socialism and all this stuff. They have no idea what they're talking about. All right. I'm going to just stand up here and try to recognize you best I can. Brother Donahue, you got your hand up or you got a microphone?
Yes, sir, I got a microphone.
Okay.
Okay. I go in and out of America into third world countries. And it's such a blessing when you come back to this country and you see the American flag flying and the people greet you and say, welcome home.
Amen.
After seeing the conflict and problems in the other countries that we go to, I am proud to be an American.
Amen. All right, somebody else. All right, just get a microphone to whoever raises a hand. All right, there we go, Brother Knauss.
Yes, I am proud to be an American, and I thank God for the freedoms that we still have. And when I think about it, about how many people just a few months ago, we were up in Washington, D.C., and went by Arlington National Cemetery. And all of those tombstones that were lined up perfectly for the people that shed their blood and gave their lives so that I could raise my kids in a free country.
Amen. Yes.
And I'm so proud to be an American. But there is a statement that I heard, and I'm going to try to remember it right, just a couple of months ago, and it made a lot of sense. It said, if they can teach a generation not to be proud of this country or to hate this country, they will not defend it.
That's right.
And if they can teach a generation to not be proud of America, then they will sell it out.
That's right.
And they'll get away with it because they don't care anything about trying to defend it.
Amen. I think it was President Reagan that said something that a lot of preachers have said, pretty much the same thing. Preachers have said we are only one generation away from losing the gospel. President Ronald Reagan says we are only one generation away from losing our freedom. Very true. Somebody else, all right, Dr. Lee?
In 1973, we left our country, Canada, in order to come to the U.S. and become an American citizen, because we needed Christian education for our children. There was not a single Christian school in Canada, and people at my ordination, pastor friends, voted against my ordination because I was just going down to Egypt for help. And we had to stand against that. I didn't know as much about Christian education at that time, but I knew my children needed it, and there was no place in Canada for it, and we came down. Now, we have our three daughters and son-in-laws. We may not be worth much, but we have three daughters. One's been married 25, the other 28, and another 34. Still married to the same husbands. That makes us very, very wealthy. And that's a product of Christian education.
Amen.
Unfortunately, it doesn't always carry down to grandchildren.
Yeah.
And I have two grandchildren that went off to state universities, and our man of God stands in the pulpit here and warns you about that. And my only grandson is married to a homosexual partner living in China now. My other granddaughter is out in the West Coast, has nothing to do with God, but they switched to a public school, switched to state universities, and their faith was destroyed. And I can't tell you strong enough, all you parents and you teens, make sure where you go for your education, that God comes first.
Amen.
And it will make a difference in this nation. I became an American for that reason. I'm proud of it, and I'm proud to be an American. Don't ever call me a Canadian American. I am an American by choice. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Lee. Boy, that's a warning. That's a generation. You're talking about grandkids. That's a heartbreaker. Oh, it's real, folks. All right, somebody else with their hand up. Okay, all right, down front here. You fellas with a microphone, look at me every now and then, and I'll point to somebody because I got a better view than you have. Okay, Sister Rodriguez here.
I want to thank the Lord that in 1898, the Americans took over our island, opening the door for missionaries to come and preach the gospel.
Amen.
Which that led me to know the Lord. And my family is saved.
Amen.
And I thank the Lord for that blessing. Because if it wasn't because of that freedom and becoming American, I wouldn't be saved.
Amen.
Because the Catholic Church was the main in Puerto Rico back then.
Yes.
But praise the Lord for the missionaries that came.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Carmen. I tell you what, that makes the difference. That makes the difference. All right, Bobby's got his hand up right here. You can catch him. And then somebody else raise theirs. We move on here pretty quick.
Well, I'm proud to be American, and I'm proud for our troops, what they're doing for our country, and thank God, good God, watch over them.
All right, thank you, Bobby. Okay, somebody else. All right there. If you look at me, I'll point.
I'm proud to be an American, and you were talking about the when the Japanese did Pearl Harbor, and that was the day that I accepted the Lord as a 5 or 6 year old child, and I've never been sorry, and the Lord has always blessed in my life, and I've spent some real hard times of my life, but the Lord has blessed and guided, and I want to thank the Lord for that and for the protection he's put on our family.
Amen.
Throughout the years.
Thank you, Sister Yoss. I believe somebody in the balcony had their hand up. All right, right. Is that Brother Nixon? Scoot up the stairs. He probably don't need the mic too much. Try it without it, Jack. He's not going to get to you. Something about you that scared him away.
I left Bible College in 1958 and went in the Army. I went overseas, spent 18 months in Korea and 3 years in Panama. I was out of my country for 4.5 years. I flew back in New York City, and I saw the Statue of Liberty standing there, and tears came to my eyes. Even though I wasn't really a great Christian at that time, I was saved. And to get back into America, knowing that this country served under God, and now today to watch the way it's sliding. But I do want you to know, most of you who know me know that I wear an Army hat all the time. I am proud. I have a retired button on my jacket right now. I love this country so much, not as much as I love the Lord, but I've been serving God and country for 57 years, and I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on God and this country. Even now, though, as I wear my hat, people will look at me and say, thank you for your service. There are still some Americans who trust God.
Yes.
And this country is still God's. And if you read your Bible, and you'll find that one of these days, his rage will come.
That's right.
And this country will be the Lord's.
Amen.
And it will be great. But right now, trust in God and know that this is his country.
Amen. All right, I believe I see somebody else in the balcony while you're up there. All right, get right there.
I came from the Philippines, and there are many things that we are thankful for America. First, they sent a missionary by the name of Damon Woods, based in Dallas, Texas, that we were able to hear the gospel and was saved.
Amen.
Second, the Americans came to the aid of the Philippines when they were invaded by the Japanese.
Yes.
And my father fought with the Americans. My father fought with the Americans against the Japanese. And we were thankful that they brought the education in here, in there, and we were able to learn English.
Amen.
I just like to emphasize that the Philippines was colonized by Spain for 50 years, and we did not even learn Spanish. And I might be wrong on that history, but we were the Philippines were invaded for a long time by the Spaniards, and we never learned Spanish. They did not even open public schools in the Philippines. But when the Americans came, they opened schools, and that's where we learned. And thirdly, I am an American dreamer too. I came here in the Philippines. This is where I met my wife and get some fortune, maybe let's say a blessing from God. That's all, thank you.
Amen. I was in the Philippines one time, and it was good to go to a nation that loved America. They let you know it. When you're over there, of course, General MacArthur, they thank him so much for coming back, returning, and taking the country back from the Japanese in World War II. All right, Molly?
Tonight, I can say that I am proud to be an American. I am Jamaican-born, but this country, I acknowledge it that it is the greatest country on earth,
Amen.
Whether anyone else wants to acknowledge that fact. But right now, I'm thankful because we have a president with a backbone. Just as we have, a pastor who has a backbone and will not flinch, and he will not draw back his words. And I'm so thankful for him.
All right, thank you, Molly. Okay, somebody's hand right behind you over here, Brother Curtis, I believe. Okay.
Well, I'm going to give away my age, but I was 11 years old when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. So I remember that day and everything I was doing, and I remember the whole World War and what happened, and the sacrifices that not only the people in uniform, but the American people did so that we won that war for our freedom. When I came I'm a native Floridian, but when I came to Davenport about 25 or 30 years ago, I was honored to meet a fellow by the name of Jimi Hendrix, James Hendrix. Jimmy was at the Battle of the Bulge that the pastor spoke about. He won the Congressional Medal of Honor at the Battle of the Bulge. And we erected a monument to him in one of the parks in Davenport that has a picture of Jimmy with President Truman putting the medal around his neck. His uniform, he went on to fight through Korea and retired. A great American, a God-loving, God-fearing man. And I'm just proud that I met him, and I'm proud to be an American that I know I have met people like Jimi Hendrix. And regardless of what these people are trying to do to our country, I know there are many good people like him out there.
Amen.
And if we just got together and stopped this we'd all be better off.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Brother Curtis. All right. There's another hand right there close.
I'll just jump around a lot. But I'm proud to be American, but first of all, I kind of think I'm humbled to be a Christian. I mean, that the word pride is so dangerous because that's one of our basic sins. And we really didn't make America. There's so many people that made America for us, but we can continue to make it great and continue to create something that's worthwhile. But when the communists took over China, 10,000 people a day fled to Hong Kong. If you see the places that have these awful governments, and then people here in America that have everything, and they can turn their nose up and make awful remarks, it is so sad.
That's right.
I taught in Little Haiti in Miami, and there you see the voodoo, and the killing of the chickens and all the stuff that goes on there, and the curses that they really work. There are curses there. It's the devil, the demons and the devils, they're real. They're real.
That's right.
And it's very real in Miami. And the thing is, so many young children are put in areas where they're in them, incarcerated with other children that are evil. And what they really should be done is sent for 3 weeks to Haiti, where so many children don't even have a parent. And then you see, so there are people in America, children that hate their parents. Some of them probably need to be hated, but there's some that hate, they just hate their parents. They ought to go and see what it is like. And I believe that most of them would come back with a little sense and a little bit of understanding. But we need to let children go somewhere else beside America and see what does go on in this crazy world.
Yeah,
thank God for America.
Yes, amen. If they could see the truth, but the trouble is they're into it sometimes without ever, in their ignorance, without ever knowing, and you got a bunch of folks that's got it planned for them. All right, we've got just a few more minutes. Get your hand up, and we'll let you finish up. There's Skip right there, okay?
Yes, I fought in the jungles of Vietnam, and...
Skip's a Vietnam veteran. He knows something there.
So I seen the oppression in those places, and I thank God for the freedoms back here of what we still have, but I also see that we could lose them very quickly also.
Right.
And it's kind of ironic that men do go to other countries, fight for those countries to keep those things from happening to them. And when I see things starting to happen to us,
yes,
it's very troublesome. So we really do need to pray on those situations. And I am thankful to be an American citizen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Skip. And as you got people like Skip and others in our church, it's veterans of one war or another. And sometimes we forget the price they paid. Somebody else would like to, all right, go ahead right there.
Hi, I'm not a member of this church, but Dave is, and I love to come and visit. I'm not saying this to be proud, but to think about our country. My family came from France in 1697, and my cousins still live on the land they were given by the governor of Virginia, Spotswood. And I'm thinking, how many countries could a family come and become farmers and develop what they did and still be there safe? Never had a war, never had anything. Loved the Lord and the Christian church.
Amen. That's quite a testimony, Brother Williams.
As Brother said about concerning Vietnam, the 58,000 that's on the wall, how many here has someone or a friend on the wall there in Washington, D.C. Anybody here?
Yes.
Wow, quite a few. And also my brother's there also, which makes it very dear. And I can say much, being in the military, retired out of the military, that the real heroes are at 58,000 on the wall.
Amen. Amen. Yes, that's quite a testimony. Got hands on the other side of the building. Where'd my other fellow go? Is he over there? All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
I've had the opportunity to know two veterans from World War II, and one of them was on one of the first waves on D-Day, and his sidearm actually saved his life. He caught a 50 caliber and caught his 9mm. But when I was a chaplain in Okeechobee, there was a man came in. He was one of the first black fighter pilots for our nation. And he was talking to the inmates there at the correction institution. He'd been all around the world. And he was sitting on the stage because he was very old and feeble at that point. And one of the young men, he was taking some questions, stood up and asked, he said, if you could see what America was going to be today, he said, would you still have fought for it? And he stood up as quickly as he could, which still took a little while. And he said, young man, I'd rather sit on the back of a bus in America than be anywhere else in the world. And I remember at that point, I was already so proud to be an American. But to see how we treat people from other nations, we respect them, we honor them, they appreciate that. And if we keep that up, and I'm proud to be here. I'm proud to raise my son here. I teach him about America. I want him to be a patriot, to serve the Lord, and to serve his nation.
Amen. Thank you, Tim. Okay, maybe we got time for one or two more. Who is it? Okay, Brother Sawyer.
In 1990, when the a month or so after the Berlin Wall came down, I was pastor in London, England, and we had the opportunity to go, my son Tom and I, to go and carry supplies and Bibles. They were scarce. They didn't have Romanian Bibles at the Bible Society there, but we carried Hungarian Bibles because there's many Hungarians living in Romania. And we went over there and delivered the Bibles, and we made three trips by land. And when you entered into the country, the manufacturing buildings were rusted and just terrible. It was in worse condition than it was in Uruguay 40 years before that, when I went there. But the people were rejoicing with the supplies of Bibles that we were bringing in there.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Brother John. I think our time is going to be up. I'm wondering on the choir now. We've got all our choir. I guess you just get the night off, and what you'll do Sunday morning, I don't know. But we hope you'll be able to sing something you've sang before. I assume that Brother Oswald awarded, did they ask you to take over anything?
No, sir. There's no practice tonight.
No practice. All right. Well, let's stand.